Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hatgate.
What?
Hat. Show goes.
And we were just going strong.
We were just going through the gears there.
It's black.
I've got a scarf if you want. Yeah, I mean, is it just to keep you warm?
No.
You can borrow my coat.
I'm going to take it as a sign, from God. Nothing is permanent. The things we hold can run through our, can crumble and run through our fingers like dust.
Do you talk like that on your podcast?
Very philosophical there.
Come on. A Dire Straits song.
No, we don't need that.
Hello everybody, this is Stephen Jones of the Sunday Times. This is The Ruck, the first of the new year, our weekly podcast for the Times and Sunday Times, and thanks a million for all the kind comments that you made about our, well, about all our podcasts last year. We were very gratified, and especially the one where we all came into work on Boxing Day to tape the Boxing Day edition. People thought we were a little bit merry, but we're always like that. We didn't have to have a drink to be like that. We'll be with you right through to the end of the rugby season, so there's no sleep till Johannesburg, which is when the England season comes to an end with the third test. And we'll be with you right through until then every week. So thanks for joining us, thanks for downloading us, and thanks for following us, and thanks for reacting. Owen Slot, of the Rugby Correspondent of the Times, is
here. Hello, Jonesy.
Owen, what's your New Year's resolution?
Spend more time with you.
Okay, let's hope that didn't come off.
Okay, well, you can only aim for these sort of things.
Yeah.
One, spend more time with you. Resolutions, sort of, I've got a load of hopes. There's a resolution, I think, as a journalist, keep applying pressure to World Rugby to improve the game, make the game safer. I think they're doing, they're sort of, World Rugby are on permanent 5 or 6 out of 10 in that respect. And I think they feel that they are doing a job, and I just think they need to do a better job. So I think as a journalist, that's something we should be pushing for. I would hope to see Razia Erasmus improve the Springboks and bring some good Springboks home to improve the South African team. I would hope to see Manu Tuilagi and Billy Vunipola play for more than 1 week in a row. And maybe Sam Underhill get a proper run again.
Stuart Barnes, the great man's deigned to join us. He's a little bit sniffy about broadcasting with amateurs like us, but he's decided to come along anyway. Stuart, what's your New Year's resolution?
Not to write a single word about Manu Tuilagi until he merits a place in an England squad of any size. Tuilagi is a virus that has infected English rugby and its thinking since he destroyed New Zealand on his own. He was wonderful that day, but it was a long time ago. Eddie Jones, it seems to me, has found an antidote and has just taken his time. The rest of us should follow suit.
Johnny Fordham of The Sun, representing the other end of the market here today, but very, very welcome. Johnny, your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution would be to, for the forthcoming season, see the Premiership at the bottom get a little bit more competitive. I think London Irish have deceived us a little bit with that first day opening win, and since then they've basically played themselves back into this championship pretty quickly. So Bristol coming up, I think that's really going to throw the cat amongst the pigeons, and some of those big boys are going to be a little bit wary. I guess Northampton, Saints and a few others are probably quite pleased they're not up this season.
Good one. Johnny, while you're here, over the weekend, some of us in this room went to a really, really upper-class champagne all the way party in a very distinguished boathouse on the Thames near Chiswick to celebrate the birthday of our colleague Sam Peters. It was his 40th birthday. Johnny, would you say your dry January resolution was shot down in flames then?
I would say if you're going for lunch, possibly don't go for 5 beers and a pack of knobby nuts, because it probably won't be able to carry you until dinner time. So I'd say maybe go for kind of 5 courses and 1 beer instead of the food to beer ratio being the other way around, I'd say.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Mm. He didn't get too badly. But
it was like a social experiment, really, just to see if Nobby's Nuts can really hold their own in terms of other... You know, maybe I should have a pack of crisps or pork scratching as well.
I doubt if you could have had, managed to get those down you because there was so much drink, but there we go. Tell me something else in the subject of ripping in. Stuart and I have taken what I consider to be polemic lines with Dylan Hartley. Johnny, you know Dylan well. You ghosted his column for a long, long time. What sort of guy is he? And who's barking up the wrong tree? Is it me who says he shouldn't be in the team and he shouldn't be captain, both of them? Or is it Stuart who says, admittedly not a huge fan, but who does say that he's in there for a reason, or at least Stuart told us the reasons why Eddie picks him. Where do you stand on Dylan? As you know him so well.
I think right now, I think that his form is shocking, as we can all see. I think that his leadership is still good, but I don't think it's head and shoulders above anyone else's in that team. Say someone like Owen Farrell or someone who leads differently, even someone like Billy Vunipola. I don't think that he is such a magical kind of orator and inspirational character that he's really going to kind of get that team dragged along with him and everything. But he is Eddie Jones's man. Eddie Jones, he even speaks like Eddie Jones now a little bit more in terms of every time he answers a question, he's thinking, what would Eddie say or what should I be saying? He's no longer Dylan Hartley, so to speak. He's more Dylan Jones Hartley, I think, which is a shame because he's such a good guy and such a good talker. I think that he needs to trust his own instinct sometimes and just be his own person as well. I think that he's kind of got a bit carried away and been brainwashed by Eddie Jones into being this kind of company man, this England man.
Did we read your piece last Friday wrong in believing you to be Eddie's lost love child? Because you weren't actually writing it in support of... You were explaining why Dylan is in the team.
The philosophy of the captaincy, not Hartley's form. I don't think Hartley's playing well, but I have seen in my career as a player and a journalist an awful lot of players not perform at club level who can still do the duty for England. Now, Eddie Jones thinks the best way England can win the World Cup is if Eddie Jones was out on the pitch. And Dylan Hartley, a hooker, like Eddie Jones was a hooker, is the nearest thing that Jones has to someone who can actually go onto the pitch and actually be Jones. So we were laughing about calling him sort of Dylan Hartley Jones. That actually is what Eddie wants. And, you know, Eddie now has taken to saying, look at the win record, it's great. I mean, at the start of his career, he talked about performance. Steve, you're a great one for winning records. Mm. If you look at the win record under Dylan Hartley, it's the greatest there is in English sport, and football or cricket. It's astonishing. And so my point was, why bother debating it? Because with Eddie Jones's criteria for what makes a great captain, until he can lose a couple of games, there ain't going to be a change.
Oh, and are we making too much fuss about the captain? Because in the old days, the really old days, the captain would be the coach as well. I mean, some Lions captains coached the team. God knows how they did that. But are we making too much of a fuss about something that's only a figurehead?
No, I don't think so, because he clearly is more than a figurehead. And when England turned from their World Cup shambles in 2015 to a Grand Slamming team in 2016, everyone's trying to divine what the changing ingredients were, and clearly Eddie Jones was one of them. And who knows to what extent Dylan Hartley was another part of it. I had a coffee with Eddie Jones in Wellington on the Lions tour, and he said, you've got to read this book, The Captain's Class. And I have since read The Captain's Class, and it is all about how... Well, it's this guy, Sam Walker, who used to be the sports editor of the Wall Street Journal, and he spent, I don't know how many weeks, years, decades, looking at the greatest teams in sporting history across all sport and trying to work out what was the commonality between all of them. And he got it down to the 16 greatest teams of all time. I mean, an interesting project, which sort of slightly lost me with his ground rules along the way. But anyway, he wanted to find out what was the alignment between all the 16 teams. And he said he thought it would be first talent and then he thought it would be coaching. But his conclusion was that what actually made these teams outstanding and what linked them all was that they had a captain that pushed them to that level. And he said that he was massively influenced by that book. And I don't actually agree with the theory, but Eddie believes that to the limit.
If you've got Mike Brearley in charge, or if you've got Martin Johnson or Lawrence Tenaglio in charge, that holds water. Not when you've got a faded Northampton saint.
So for me, the thing is, it works as a theory until his form becomes questioned by his teammates. Because as soon as the teammates are looking at him going, how's he in the team and not Jamie George, presumably, as soon as that happens, then the thing's done and it has to change.
Well, you don't think they're saying that already?
I don't know. But everyone else on the outside is.
Stuart, can I just put something else to you? Eddie came up with a quote last week in which he said, well, of course, when I go along to watch club rugby, you must realise that some people are not very good at club rugby, are good at internationals. And then he said vice versa. Some people are good at internationals, not club rugby. The most pompous poppycock I've ever heard in my life. Because for a start, a lot of the tests England will play this year will be nothing remotely as hard as what Saracens will face in the European Cup, for instance. How can you say that something like it involving Italy or possibly even Wales this year or Scotland over the last few years is better than club stuff? But the pomposity of that is absolutely ridiculous because they're the same sports, they're both high level, one may be a step up from another, but how on earth, it's not a different sport. If you're bloody tremendous at club level, it's a good chance you're likely to be tremendous at international level. Someone hit it on the head, the nail on the head the other day. They said, Eddie Jones is trying to persuade us that something is going on that we don't know about, and it's rubbish.
Well, sorry, Steve, I think it's time for polarisation between you and I yet again. I think they are worlds apart. It's not in terms of speed, it's not in terms of size, it's not in terms of style. It's a psychological thing. International rugby is such a mental test in a way that club rugby is not. You know, you can be a brilliant player at your clubs, but you wear the white of England or you wear the red of Wales and your entire nation is watching, the media world and the social media world is geared up in a way that is not used to it, and it's very different. And, you know, I can tell you, I felt utterly comfortable throughout my career playing for Bath in cup finals, 60,000 at Twickenham. It's familiarity. Internationally, it's very different. You have to get to know the players and you have to work your way into it so it feels as if it's a club game. Difference between a good player and a great player. Good players might be okay as internationals. Great players walk into it. I felt my problem was that, you know, I didn't play enough to actually feel I'm comfortable there. My teammate, Jerry Guscott, on his first game, walked into it and just thought, what's the problem? Because the great players can handle it. But there is undoubtedly a big psychological difference.
Why does Eddie go to club games then? Why doesn't he spare us?
I don't see why the hell Eddie Jones goes to club games, because he clearly isn't interested in it. The only thing you can say is Jones has got his three criteria, or so he claims, hasn't he? Historical form, so you don't need to watch club rugby. Current form, club rugby.
Ed Stewart, Eddie Jones's criteria changes every minute.
No, Steve.
Every minute.
No,
there's some different criteria for selection every bloody press conference.
No, explanation of selection, yes, he changes. His criteria has pretty much always been, ever since he's come in, he has said it's about historical form, it's about current form, and I don't see why you watch club rugby for current form because he doesn't rate that, and then it's potential. And that is the art of a selector, getting that balance right. And I think, by and large, Jones hasn't done a bad job.
Johnny, in sport now, we no longer use form at the top level to pick our rugby teams. If I get score 350 in the county championship, that doesn't mean I'm any better for England.
The All Blacks are like that.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with Eddie Jones is the way that he makes it up as he goes along, and it's a different answer for different people. The end of the Six Nations, or the end of a summer tour, or the end of the autumn tour, he'll say, "Now I want players to go back to their clubs and play like their Test players." And like you say, if that's then pointed at Dylan Hartley, he doesn't go back to Northampton and play like a Test player.
Well, after last autumn, he got himself suspended for six weeks and
he was
didn't
off for
play.
6 weeks.
And after this autumn, he's just played like a drain.
Yeah, and also in his first year under Eddie Jones, I think he played something like 7 games for Northampton because, lo and behold, whenever it came back to the Premiership, he had a back injury or had a little niggle here or there, or he had a concussion, which are obviously, you know, serious issues and everything. But I think at the same time, Eddie doesn't care about that. But he can't keep on saying that he does care about it with other people. The thing with Dylan is that Dylan is not only the England captain during the Six Nations and during the autumn, he's the England captain every day. And Eddie Jones doesn't tell us this all the time, because I'm pretty sure Eddie is in contact with Dylan every day, or if not every other day. They are, you know, he's sending him emails, he's sending him text messages, he'll be sending him, you know, clippings of this, clippings of that. It is for Hartley, it is a 24/7 job, and sometimes I think you can see that he wears that quite badly. Others, when they're, you know, when his kind of haunches are up a little bit, he's he's fine with it. I think this is for him is a bad period though in terms of his form. Obviously, Saints have just been awful, and he's suffered.
What Eddie says and what Eddie does, they just don't marry up, and that's fine. They don't have to, because what he says in public is just filling hot air or filling newspaper columns, and occasionally gives us something to hang him on. Like when he says you have to go away and behave like a test match animal, or whatever, and then Dylan goes and behaves like a test match insect. But
I don't understand. We see him in the media be getting upset because Eddie's leading us on a false goose chase. Eddie Jones has not been made manager of England to give us straight answers all the time. Eddie Jones doesn't care about us. Yeah. Eddie Jones has been selected to win a World Cup. Now, I think there's an issue at the moment that I think Jones isn't getting everything right, so the performances aren't as good as the results. But while they'll keep winning and winning and winning and winning, it's very hard to argue.
Do you think Eddie could possibly have chosen, Stuart, a better time to be here when South Africa are the worst they've ever been, Aussie have been terrible, Argentina have faded and become a joke, Italy have always been a joke, Scotland have been bad till this season, Wales are going downhill, and they've never played New Zealand. Is this not the ideal time to come in to be coach of England?
It is, Steve, but having said that, you know, apart from Clive Woodward, you know, we had that England era when Dick Best was saying we'll have to drop out of the Six Nations, Five Nations as it was then, because the competition's not good enough. England then went over a decade or so without winning it. So, you know, it doesn't matter what you say. England have failed and failed and failed and failed, other than when Clive Woodward is there. And the only time they have succeeded on a clear run 2 years is Eddie Jones. Those are hard facts, Steve.
Eddie came up with a quite an interesting line last week when he was asked about certain players. He said, I'll deal with the media favourites first.
yes, he did.
Now, yeah. The media favourites, we may get things palpably wrong, but between us in this box, we've seen probably 2,000 international matches, and some of it might have rubbed off. Do you think that when we mention players in the media and when we think they're going well, even though we never conspire, it's all individual, do you think that makes their chances of getting in the team less because Eddie doesn't like seeing all their names in the media?
In Eddie Jones's weird, wonderfully warped world, possibly. You never know with him. But I think that to kind of throw it at the media and say it's, you know, you guys keep on talking about Danny Cipriani. Well, because he's playing well for Wasps. Oh, you guys keep on talking about Dan Robson.
Or Don Armand.
He's playing well for Wasps. Don Armand tearing it up at Exeter. Don Armand, man of the match in the Premiership final. Eddie Jones says then he's not good enough for Test rugby. Tom Wood can't make the summer tour. What does Eddie Jones do? Picks Don Armand. So, you know, maybe he did take our advice on that one. But I think that to level it at the media, and also, as Barnsley said, you know, with social media, there's a lot of people that someone has a good game, then there's little clips everywhere. You know, everyone sees it. It's everywhere. People will be talking about it.
Would you not prefer that? And I agree that I don't understand some of Eddie's selections, and I fervently think that Dan Robson should be in the squad, etc., etc. But would you not rather be slightly perplexed by a head coach who sticks so rigidly to his views, rather than in the old era, in the Stuart Langhouse era, where he was influenced by what he read? There's absolutely no doubt about that. A lot of what he did was influenced, and sometimes he made decisions, maybe not consciously, but it did appease the media.
I think if a player's going well and tearing it up at their club and doing good things at Wasps, and he's England qualified and he's played for England before, like Danny Cipriani, I, like you, Slotty, don't think he's ever going to be anywhere near the England squad camp. You know,
nor should Danny Cipriani be now. He's not playing to that level. He doesn't have the potential that George Ford has. So Eddie Jones is actually right there. Club rugby is, in its own way, a long way down from international rugby. So I think Eddie Jones, in his view, is absolutely right there. It's very hard to knock him. And Steve's put, you know, the point made about what do you want? Do you want Stuart Lancaster, who is subconsciously influenced by us? That's a disaster. Picking, you know, not giving people like Slade a chance because he wanted to see how somebody we all like fitted in. That whole pre-World Cup 2015 thing was Stuart Lancaster playing players to give them 10, 15 minutes. Danny Cipriani, case in point.
Yeah.
The Cipriani crescendo was reached. He gave him 10 or 15 minutes. Danny played quite well. But by doing that, we didn't see someone like Henry Slade. England went to the World Cup with a weaker squad. I want to see someone who doesn't care whether he's consistent in what he says to the media. It's not his job. You know, Eddie Jones will rise and he will fall on what he does, not how he appeases us. That's it.
I'll have the final word. I think that, if, for instance, if you were a Saracen last year and you came through what they came through and the year before that, the idea that that doesn't qualify you to play international rugby is absolute drivel. This is The Ruck. We'll be back after this.
Love your rugby? Then don't miss the Scrum Weekly, your Wednesday update from the game's finest writers. Only at thetimes.co.uk.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you see the ads now? They mentioned you and me.
I know.
Slotty. Right, let's just have a bit of levity now, as Barnsley's clearly getting steamed up here. Barnsley, this new beast, the Leinster Llama, what should we think about the Llama? Because he's had one magnificent run from 90 metres for Leinster, but you now think he might be a player.
Steve, I think it's fair to say that my instincts are normally of the cynical variety. And I
saw noticed that this morning.
I saw the Munster-Leinster game on television, and he played very well, and thought, heck, that's one hell of a try. Could be an exception, though. I was at the RDS to watch Leinster play Ulster, and Ulster aren't a great team. But this kid, you could see it. I mean, he's got a two-footed sidestep. He shifts like Cullen. He's got that sort of easy grace going there, and he stamps down with a Robinson step, and then he's got those little patter change of pace. The step is altered. He's a hard man to stop. He tackles well. He can kick. It's early days, but he looks exceptional. I've written about him Monday's Times, saying Joe Smith should pick him. He's the sort of bloke who could turn Ireland from a very competitive team into a ferocious team. What he has is the ability to murder you on the counter-attack. Ireland play a squeeze game, they press you, but then what do they do when someone kicks loose? This guy can break you in half.
Two more questions about Jordan Llama. Has anyone got the guts to play a guy like that? Because in the old days you would. Currently, you'd run a mile.
Well, Steve, you're a big fan of Rob Kearney, and he's getting somewhere near his best form. But near isn't quite enough, because this kid could do so much. Joe Smith has a real reputation for being quite conservative, for being a controlling influence. But you've got to remember that Joey Carberry was only 4 days past 21 when he came off the bench in Chicago and played a part as fly half to beat the All Blacks. So I think Smith will have the nerve to do it, because I think he's a good coach. I think he'll look at what England did with Wilkinson as an 18-year-old and Robinson as a union rookie, and I think he'll blood him. It might be off a bench, it might be at wing, but I think he's going to play.
Schmidt has had Jordan Llama training with the senior squad since last Six Nations last year.
Okay.
And just while we're on the subject, regulars of this parish will go back to the podcast of the 21st of March, and they will remember very well that we talked about him then as the rising star. That was a podcast following the Six Nations Grand Slam weekend, and I went to watch England versus Ireland at the under-20s.
Yeah.
And we talked about what were your highlights of that weekend, and watching him that day, I mentioned him there. I said, that is the guy that's coming.
Okay, Jordan Llama, absolutely one to watch, and my goodness, wouldn't it be great if great individuals like that came back into the frame. Johnny, let's just go back to team seems to be my favourite now, Saracens. Just a quick word about them, because they put
that's a lovely Saracens hoodie you're wearing today as well, by the way.
They put. I just wore one hoodie, a Clermont Auvergne hoodie, once because it was cold.
You wore it the other day.
I wear it. Well, I paid so much for it. I've got to wear it.
Can you wear a different club hoodie every week?
No,
that would be part of the entertainment.
I bought
the
one because I forgot to take my fleece to Clermont, and I had to buy it. It was all that was there. Okay, I wear my Sarri's underpants. And all that. Johnny Saracens, yesterday Big Billy, Big Macca were back.
They're all big.
They were all back. Are they now going to come smoothly back into Top Gear?
I think when you've seen Billy when he returns, I don't think that I haven't really seen him anything other than Top Gear. Maybe fourth at some points, but you'd hope as an England fan that he'd come steaming back because he's going to be, you know, huge for the Six Nations. I think you know, Sam Simmons is a good player, but I think. Obviously, Nathan Hughes injured as well. I think England going to the Six Nations with Sam Simmons at number eight or Billy at number eight, you know, it's not even a debate, is it? So I think, it's been a frustrating year for him, obviously, with his Lions heartbreak as well. So just love to see him, as Slotty said earlier in his New Year's wishes, just love to see him get a run now because that shoulder injury and that knee injury really did ruin his last kind of 18 months or so.
Can we just ask Stuart one question before we don't get too far into England things? But Stuart, another one of Eddie's favourites is obviously Mike Brown. Recently on the Lions tour and this season, we've seen Anthony Watson be playing in a higher gear when he was fullback. We've seen Jack Nowell playing out of his skin, and also Johnny May too, three decent contenders. Do you feel he's going to stick with Mike Brown as powerfully as he stuck with Dylan Hartley?
Yep, and I 100% disagree with it. Talked about Jordan Lama, and what he can do is kill you on the counter. England's game, like Ireland's, like New Zealand's, modern test rugby is about putting a territorial squeeze, forcing teams then to do something useless, like miss a kick to touch 30 metres out, what do you do then? England, unfortunately, are good at putting the pressure on you, but when a good team bangs the ball away, England can't kill you on the counter unless it's a moment of brilliance from someone like Johnny May or Watson. You look at New Zealand, you look at the Aussies, they can really smash you on the counter-attack, and that is the key to the game. England's glaring weakness is the fact that they've got cracking wingers, but they've got a fullback who's the apex of a counter-attack game who cannot counter-attack, and whilst he's brave and he's honest and he's a sort of another prototype Eddie, a ferocious competitor, I don't see England winning a World Cup with Mike Brown there.
Okay, this just going to another player who's always in the news. Oh, in Joe Marler. Joe's up shortly for yet again after about the 10th time he said he's going to change his mindset, etc., for what looked like a really, really nasty swing. Johnny and Owen, what do you think and where does that leave him? And could he actually get a real big ban, like sort of 2 or 3 months?
I think he could do. It leaves him in a really bad place because he's got so much previous now. His last ban was only at the end of October. And if you review that incident, as I think we all have now, I mean it was unprovoked violence, and The guy will be charged under. We're not sure what the charge will be, but I think his minimum is going to be 4 weeks. It should be around 6 weeks, but they might take into account his history and make it quite a lot longer. And I don't think he could really have a lot of complaint if that was the case.
No, he's got absolutely no leg to stand on. Like you say, he was done for 3 weeks in October, a very short time ago. So his Six Nations is possibly even looking over before it started, really. And I think. I don't know what kind of view Eddie Jones will take to it. I don't know whether he'll be defending him on this one or just kind of throw him under the bus and say, "Well, you've just completely ruined it for yourself here, mate." Because there's some decent loose heads coming through at the moment. Obviously, Ellis Genge is injured, which is a real shame because he was going great guns. And then you've got Benno Urbano as well, who, whilst he doesn't look fit enough for Test rugby, I don't think at the moment. I think to bring him off the bench once Mako's put his shift in would be an interesting and exciting thing for.
Do you think Marlowe's put his Test future at risk now?
Again, Eddie Jones loves these kind of players, as Barnsley said and we said before. You know, he loves the players with a little bit of earthiness and a blokey bloke and all this
the gangster stuff that he talks about.
Gangster, yeah. and whatever he wants to call Marlowe. So he loves that stuff. But again, how can you trust a bloke that does that in a in a Premiership game? How can you trust him in a in a crunch Six Nations game or in a World Cup?
We'll go back to that, this Eddie consistency thing. So you could apply the same argument to Dylan Hartley, can't you? But Eddie Jones, his argument is, but he never stuffs up like that for England. And nor is Joe Marler for England, is he? And that's how he defends Dylan's disciplinary record.
So there's nothing to do with the sort of image of the game when someone does a flying forearm smash, as long as he doesn't do it for England.
I think it's not that the image of the game that Eddie's saying that. He's saying that he managed to keep his head when he's playing in a white shirt.
Big week of European Challenge Cup action this week, guys. The fifth round the penultimate round of the pool. Stuart, Clermont, Saracens, we keep on putting up as favourites, or we have done recently. You've seen a lot of Leinster lately. Do you think they're now coming in to a spot where they could be favourites?
They are the favourites with the bookmakers, and I think the bookmakers are absolutely right. Last year, they're very consistent in their domestic league, and they were solid in Europe. But I never thought they had that certain something to win it. They're a completely different team this season. Their defence is fantastic. I've got to say that the two-man Andy Farrell tackle system is working really well. They're hungry. Sexton is fit and playing well. They've got in Furlong a bloke who gives you what you need more than anything, which is an anchor on the scrum. They've got X-factor guys like Lama. They've got it all at the moment. They're very confident. They play Glasgow Sunday. That'll be five straight wins because Glasgow now have given up on Europe. They're going to be a home seed in the quarter-final. They're pretty close to the final, I think, and the bookies make them favourite, and I think they should be. Right now, you know, Saracens are going to have to come from an away quarter-final. Now, in the last 4 years, two teams have won away quarter-finals to carry on. Both times it's been Saracens, so I think if the draw goes right, I'm looking at a Leinster-Sarries final.
I think it's one of the things, the sad things is so much does depend on this sort of random semi-final draw, doesn't it? Johnny, Exeter Montpellier, Exeter have not been at their best in Europe. They have to win that one. Do you think that they've got the resources and the mindset to put away Montpellier?
I do, because I mean I went down there earlier in the season when they beat Montpellier at their place, and I thought that was one of their best ever performances. I'd say it was right up there. It was against the odds, and they just dug in, and they have that kind of steely mentality. And I think down at Sandy Park, obviously, they're going to have a huge support there. I think that you know, all the players that we talked about, Don Armand and all these guys, are going well for them there, and they're turning into kind of big game players as well. And they have that kind of rounded squad that they can do it as well. Obviously Montpellier, you know, we know all about their threats, and the Nadolo, the giant Fijian, is a back at Sandy Park after, you know, spending a short spell there. I can't remember when it was about 6-7 years ago or something. I think
you're still at school, Johnny.
When it was back in the amateur era. I think that's the way I'm gonna be heading. That's the one to watch for me, because I think, yes, they, if they can pull out a result there and then do it again, and I think that, you know, they've got a good chance. Obviously it's a possibly some of the runner-up spots that we're looking at for most of the English sides, I think, now.
We're obsessed with results. I'll tell you the best Exeter have played this season. 50 minutes at Lansdowne Road against Leinster. They led them 17-3. Now, it wasn't that Exeter had a bad day. Leinster are an extremely good team. I thought that's the best I've seen Exeter play, and it showed what a good side they are. But it also shows the quality of opposition. We mustn't get stuck in this English, Anglo-centric world where if an English team lose to someone else, they must have been off form. They weren't. Leinster are bloody good.
Wasps got a catastrophic injury list, so much so that they started with their last two regular centres yesterday, lost them both, and ended up with the centre partnership of Rob Miller and Guy Armitage. Not the best time to go away to Harlequins. They'll be trying to rough them up.
Don't know what Harlequins will do with that game, actually, because they're dead in Europe, so they've got so many injuries of their own that they'll want to keep as fresh a team as possible for 2 weeks further down the line. They'll enjoy nothing more than stuffing up Wasps' hopes in Europe. So and the other side is Harlequins actually have so many injuries of their own that they'll struggle to rest some of their better players, even if they wanted to.
Okay, Stuart. The long-awaited Welsh quarter-finalist.
Come on.
We've got Llanelli playing away at Bath on a Friday, with Bath still very much interested. And then we've got the Ospreys on Saturday playing at home to Saracens. Obviously, both sides very much interested. Will one of the Welsh teams come through?
I don't think Ospreys will. I think Saracens are just too good a team. They've been very competitive in Europe. They'll give them a game. You know, they've got an inspiring leader in Alan Wynne-Jones. Their halfbacks, Webb and Bigger, are playing well. But I just think Saracens will have too much. I think the real story is Friday night. And I think the main player that day is going to be the weather. If it's wet and windy and awful as it was in West Wales when Bath went there and did a defensive number on the Scarlets, then I think Bath will have too much power up front to win it. If it's a decent day, the Scarlets have an all-round game to win this game. And, you know, Bath versus what many of us will think of as Llanelli is an old-fashioned traditional game. And that plays into the hands of the West Walians because this is a game that they've played for the ragdoll over the years. They're familiar with Bath. It's not far to travel. We know that, you know, a lot of Welsh teams don't like travelling over the Severn Bridge where you can see it from the Bath Junction. It's tight. They've got a really good chance. And if they win it, they play Toulon at home in round six. And I would have a substantial wager that if the Scarlets need to beat Toulon at home, they will.
The injury crisis in the game, we hear a lot about it, and we hear all coaches saying, well, of course, don't worry, because it gives everybody else a chance. You now get into the stage where some teams, for instance, the Newport Dragons have got 24 players out. Wasps, not many fewer than that. Everyone has got key players out, and the numbers are growing and growing and growing. Welsh national teams only got, I think, two of their normal starting pack left for the first game against Scotland. Stuart, is it being devalued for fans now, but even worse, is it getting too dangerous for players?
I don't think the devalue factor comes into it because I think the academy systems are bringing good players through. I think the issue is, I don't like using the word dangerous, just too physical, just too tough. And sometimes you just got to think, this is something where it's very hard to sort of 20 seconds in a podcast say what's the answer. I don't know, but I think there is an issue. The game is overly physical, but you can't take it away from rugby. That's the nature of the game. That is what the fans love.
Johnny?
Yeah, it's a tough one. And then you think, because you look at, say, the Irish system when the players are centrally contracted and stuff like that, and they don't play as many games. And is that the answer?
But Johnny, they're full of injuries as well.
Yeah, and obviously when you do play, you're going to be playing in the big games. You're not going to be playing in the so-called Mickey Mouse ones, if you will. So I think at the moment we're seeing some of the injuries we're seeing are, you know, some real horrific ones as well, but also some freak ones. Obviously, you've got Kashalakis, Harlequins, you know, broken bone in his throat and all these kind of things. And I think that unless...
I haven't even got any bones in my throat. I didn't.
No, you might. Yeah, you definitely do.
Slotty, where should we be?
Well, I don't know if anyone's seen the incident Claremont at Racing at the weekend. Mm. So Claremont have absolutely been ravaged by injuries. We've already mentioned probably as much as any other team in Europe. Brought in an 18-year-old winger called Samuel Ezeala, Spanish, who they had to resort to because they didn't have any players left. Went to make a tackle, got his head on the wrong side. And it was so bad that not only did the stretcher and the doctors come on, but they put up the white sheets around him, like they do for a horse at the Grand National. Actually, the bloke's all right, but if you're watching that on the telly, you're not going to let your kid play that game.
It's difficult, and there's so much head-first bashing round the side now. If you bought the ruck back, you'd get rid of a lot of that.
Yes.
The only trouble is, if you bought the ruck back, then we'd have all sorts of other issues. Someone said in the old days, it was like when rucking was rucking, it was like lying while a multi-Adidas centipede stamped on you.
But, Steve, very little of that stuff was on the head.
I totally...
And the problem is, the world rugby is scared of seeing a bit of blood. And this sounds callous, but there's nothing wrong with a bit of blood if it's on the back and you're on the wrong side.
Totally
players
agree.
Never cared. Players self-policed. And referees, they know that too.
Ruck is a key
point, you're right.
If you brought ruck back, you wouldn't have 3,000 breakdowns per game.
So it's another triumph for the ruck, then.
Thanks very much for listening to us. We'll be back next week reviewing Europe. I'd just like to thank Stuart Barnes, Owen Slott, Johnny Fordham, for coming in today. Johnny's sponsored by Courage, Fuller's,
and Nobby's Nuts,
and Guinness.
A couple of Scotch eggs as well.
Thank you very much.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.